Well, it is 1:30. I'm going to go ahead and call us to order. This is a street vacation hearing, public hearing on a request from the Humane Society for Tacoma and Pierce County, listed as the petitioner, requesting to vacate what is billed as a portion of the alleyway between 67th and South 69th Streets and South Adams Street and vacated Durango Street, which is the description that was given in the city's preliminary report that was received in the hearing examiner's office as a proposed exhibit prior to today's hearing, received on February 13th, 2020, as that area is otherwise legally described in that preliminary report. The requested vacation is billed as being to facilitate development. Today is February 20th, 2020, and we are convened on the record at 1:30 p.m. In the Tacoma City Council chambers at the Tacoma Municipal Building, 747 Market Street in the city of Tacoma, which is the time and location that was noticed for today's hearing, according again to the preliminary report. My name is Jeff Capel. I'm the city of Tacoma's hearing examiner. I'll be presiding in the hearing today. And let me just take appearances quickly, and then I'll describe the procedure that we're going to follow for the hearing today, along with maybe addressing a couple other preliminary matters. Who do we have from the city of Tacoma today?
Teague Pascoe, appearing for Real Property Services, city of Tacoma.
Okay. I presume you're going to be making a presentation?
Yes.
Any other witnesses from the city today?
No, sir.
All right. I guess not, but sometimes they come in late.
Right.
Who do we have for the petitioner, Humane Society of Tacoma, or for Tacoma Pierce County?
My name is Dominic Temmel. I'm with Coldwell Banker Commercial Danforth. I'm a commercial broker and representative for the Humane Society.
Okay, and I would note that prior to going on the record, we were handed up an emailed communication from the CEO for the Humane Society to Ms. Pascoe, indicating that Dominic Temmel is the appointed representative agent for the petitioner, the Humane Society. So we've got that straightened out. It's all on paper, and I'll presume that's all correct and everything. Mr. Temmel, you're all right with that?
Yes, that's correct.
Assuming that heavy responsibility today?
Yes.
All right. I will note that today's hearing is a public hearing in all respects, in that it is open for the public to attend. But it's also for street vacation hearings are public hearings in the sense that members of the public who are interested and who presumably have standing to speak on the vacation hearing are allowed to do that. I will note for purposes of the digital audio record that no one is present in council chambers today besides the two who've just appeared verbally for the parties, the city and the Humane Society. So I guess we'll see if anybody else shows up, but if we don't have anybody here from the public, we'll dispense with that portion of the hearing. And the way the hearing normally proceeds is that per hearing examiner rule, the city usually makes its presentation first, and that usually addresses the city's review of the petitioner's application, how it feels the petition lines up against the criteria found in state law at Revised Code of Washington 3579, as well as with the Tacoma Municipal Code, the TMC, in Chapter 922, which governs street vacations locally. And the city often makes a recommendation then as to whether it thinks the vacation should be granted or not. Not always, but usually, and that's helpful to me. I don't know that we're going to need this today, but just so you know that the opportunity is there. Prior to either side making your presentations, you can make an opening statement if you wish before you give testimony. You don't have to do that if you're just wanting to move straight to it and address why you feel that the street vacation should be granted. We can do that. All testimony from the parties, the city and the petitioner, is taken under oath. So once we get to when we're getting to the testimony portion of that, I need to swear you in first. I don't typically swear parties or presenters, witnesses in before if they're making an opening statement, because that's just a statement. It's an argument. It's not evidence. So you're not sworn before that. But Sometimes if parties have difficulty differentiating where the line is between the two, then we just swear in and go for it, and I can distinguish what's what. So the city makes its presentation to the extent that Mr. Temmel, as the representative of the petitioner, you have cross-examination questions for the city once Ms. Teague is done making her presentation. You have the opportunity to do that. That's not the time to state your disagreement or whatever with anything the city has presented, except insofar as you do that through the form of a question. It's really the opportunity to question about what the city has just presented in order to clarify, or, you know, if you're good at it, you can poke holes in the other side's case, but has to be done in the form of a question. Once that's done, to the extent Ms. Teague feels like she needs to give any additional direct testimony that addresses things that come up across examination, she can do that. Follow the same procedure on your side. And I will note, for purposes of the applicable TMC provisions, as well as state law, the burden of proof is on the petitioner to show that the requested street vacation does meet the criteria found in the TMC and the RCW that I've already made reference to. That said, usually the city's presentation is so thorough, for the most part, that there's not a lot of additional information for the petitioner to provide, although sometimes the petitioner disagrees with things the city does, and you can do that. But, you know, doesn't need to be said twice to be on the record. And in a situation like today where we don't have members of the public here, Ms. Teague knows this because I've said it at least once when she's been the presenter for the city. The information that's in the city's preliminary report doesn't need to be read in here to be in the record. I already have it physically. I've read through it, and it's already, well, it's not part of the record yet because we haven't addressed the admissibility of exhibits, but presuming that it gets admitted and made part of the record, it's already on the record. It doesn't need to be read in for that to happen. When there are members of the public here, it's often a good idea to present anyway, just for the informational function that that provides, to inform the people who are here who are interested in it, and, you know, hopefully informs what they testify to later on if they're intending to do so. But we don't have anybody here today, so anyway. So city makes its presentation, petitioner makes its presentation, city can cross-examine just like you can. And after that's done, sometimes I ask questions too, just so you know. Doesn't mean you've done anything wrong, just means I'm looking for clarification, same as is done in cross-examination. Once that's finished, we usually go into the public testimony portion of the hearing. Looks like we may not have that today. And then once that is done, then I usually afford both sides the opportunity for some brief rebuttal, and that is intended to be time to address things that come up in the public testimony portion of the hearing. If we don't have any public testimony, there really won't be anything to rebut today. So there you go. Any questions for how we're going to proceed today? Anything from the city?
I have a just for purposes of clarification for Mr. Temmel. If the petitioner agrees with the city's report, can they just state that they agree with the information provided by the city?
That's certainly fine. And,
all right.
And the initial way that happens is by addressing the admissibility of the city's exhibits. So maybe we can take care of that now. The city submitted to my office prior to today's hearing exhibits, 16 exhibits that have been marked C1 through C15 at this point, C for city, 16 actually, C1 through 16. Mr. Temmel, I presume that you have a copy of those and that you and your client have had the opportunity to review those prior to today, is that correct?
That's correct. My boss and I and the Humane Society have reviewed all these documents.
Okay, and so in anticipation of a motion from the city to admit its exhibits 1 through 16 and have them made part of the record, I'm asking the petitioner whether it has any objection to any of those exhibits coming in and being made part of the record.
No, we don't have any objections.
All right. Is there a motion?
Yes, the city moves to submit city exhibits C1 through C16.
Motion will be granted without objection from the petitioner. And so, as you were saying, the lack of objection also presumes tacit agreement with the information that is contained in those exhibits C1 through C16. To the extent that Mr. Temmel disagrees or wants to add any clarification, anything that's in there, he certainly has the opportunity to do so. But, you know, to the extent that the petitioner wants to just stipulate that the city's information is all golden and good to go, that certainly can be done. And maybe we'll set a new record for being concluded quickly today. Anything procedurally or otherwise from the petitioner that needs to be addressed before we would go into presentation of
cases? No, we reviewed this information at all. It's correct.
Okay. All right. One procedural thing from me before we go into that. In reviewing this information, I had a very vague recollection of in my former life as a deputy city attorney for the city of Tacoma, having maybe provided some legal counsel to Real Property Services regarding properties in this area. And here's how much I was invested in. I don't remember for sure if it was in this actual block or not, but I don't think it presents any kind of a conflict of interest for me. And I would note for purposes of the record too, I'm not the decision maker for street vacation hearings. I'm simply the city council's hearing officer to conduct the required public hearing on the way to their making a decision on it. Street vacations are considered legislative actions in the state of Washington, and I'm not the city's legislative body. But the city council does have the authority to appoint a hearing officer to conduct the hearing for them, and then that requires me to make written findings, conclusions, and recommendation to the city council on the way to their deciding the issue. So I'm not the decision maker. I don't have any conflict of interest, but I do think I may be advised on the status of alleyways and streets in this area at one point, probably 5 years ago. And that was not to Ms. Pasco, who wasn't with the city at the time. It was to one of her coworkers. But I honestly don't remember if it was even in this block. I think it was in this general area. So
may I add some comments?
Absolutely, if you
There's
want to inquire.
There's some parcels that are to the southwest that I think are in foreclosure. And they may be sold, but the last I reached out, Real Property Services called me about those because I was trying to add those on to this additional development because, you know, typically with developments, we reach out to all the neighbors to see if we can add more developable land to the deal, and they said that they were going through a foreclosure process. But at this point, you know, I think that it would be a great opportunity to develop this area. We've had a ton of interest in these sites and multiple offers, and it seems very imperative to have this vacation done in order to develop the property, but it seems like it's in everybody's best interest to move this process forward.
Are you aware, Mr. Temmel, it seems like there was some property around this area that Habitat for Humanity owned?
Correct. So what happened when the property was purchased, right, Habitat for Humanity purchased a portion of it, and the Humane Society purchased another portion. Their goal was to build a new facility at this site.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, for the Humane Society, that didn't work out. And none of the leadership that is there now was involved in that. It was around when that transaction happened, so we don't know what happened there. But Habitat for Humanity is developing on the west side, I think eventually, but there's quite a bit of buffer, and this is a very industrial area. Yeah. And right now, it's unfortunately being used in the wrong way by unwanted visitors and so forth. And I think development really brings some new life and value to the area.
Okay, well, it does seem like my hazy recollection is correct then, but I'm presuming the city doesn't have any problem with me functioning as the hearing officer on this one, or if you do, go ahead. I'm not trying to, you know, chill you from objecting if there is an objection.
The city has no objection.
I need to interject. I'm having a hard time hearing the petition.
You need to pull that mic around there, Mr. Temmel, so we make sure we're getting you on the record.
Okay. Can you hear me now? Sorry.
All right. Back to Ms. Pasco then.
The city has no objection to you serving as hearing examiner.
And Mr. Temmel, I you know, you haven't obviously talked with your client about this, but again, I'm ultimately not the decision maker, although I will state that thus far in my duration, my tenure as hearing examiner, almost 3 years, so not that long, the council typically follows my recommendations, although on at least one occasion they have not. Again, if there's any concern in that regard, now would be the time to make it noted. I'm stating for the record that my involvement was very tangential in terms of advising about status of right-of-way, and I think there were some questions and issues regarding a particular state statute that deals with right-of-way areas that were not opened and improved prior to X date that were not within incorporated city boundaries. All very esoteric. I don't think it's going to influence the fact that I counseled briefly on that with the city won't influence my impartiality in making a recommendation to council, but if you want to make an objection, now would be the time.
No objection.
Okay. And I think she's still having a hard time picking you.
No objection.
Thank you.
All right, there we go. All right, so with that out of the way then, would be the time for the presentation of, not really cases, I guess, but time to make your presentation, Ms. Pascoe. So you wanting to make an opening statement, or should we just swear you in and get straight to it?
I would like to submit the report, Exhibit C1, and the supporting exhibits, C2 through C16, and forego reading the report into the record with your permission.
That's granted.
But I do have a few clarifying comments.
Okay. Well, in as much as that's given in the nature of testimony, let's go ahead and swear you in then, and you can make those comments once we've done that. If you raise your right hand, please. Do you swear and affirm that the testimony you're about to give as part of this hearing today will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
All right, so go ahead.
So I'd like to draw your attention to City's Exhibit C-5. And I just wanted to point out, it's in the report, but that this alley vacation is accompanied as a separate but related matter by a request to surplus a deeded parcel that runs alongside the alley. We did look carefully at the deeded parcel, hoping that we could treat it as right-of-way, but there was no clear indication on the instrument granting the city, it was simply a quick claim deed. And we researched the title, and the grantor appeared to have clear title to the property. So we concluded that it should be a surplus. There is a city-owned storm drain in that parcel, and we are currently working to get a survey to locate the storm main. Our proposal for the surplus is that the City Environmental Services Department will retain a stormwater easement, which is normally what we would have under most circumstances. We would obtain merely a stormwater easement so that we were not, you know, owning a strip of land through a set of contiguous parcels.
Mm-hmm. So and the deed that conveyed that parcel that you're looking to add to the mix through a surplus proceeding, that's the second page of Exhibit C6, is that right? The quick claim deed that has 296278.
That is correct.
Okay. Yeah, I looked that over before the hearing, and I think under State Supreme Court, the holding in Keeley v. Graves, there's at least an argument to be made that that side of the alleyway was for right-of-way purposes, but you're right, there's no, I think they call it an interim clause. There's nothing in there that says this is being quitclaim for right-of-way, so it's a little less clear than sometimes these deeded right-of-way conveyances are. So certainly the city can choose to handle it as a surplus property proceeding. You're saying, though, that all the city facilities are in the I'm going to call it the surplus side.
We believe that to be the case. To be sure, we ordered a survey, and unfortunately, it is not yet completed.
Okay.
I spoke to Environmental Services Chief Surveyor on Wednesday, the 12th. I'm not sure what day. It was the 12th of February, and he told me that it would be done this week. However, I have not been able to confirm that. So.
So there's a possibility for the need to retain easement area out of the vacation area, depending on what the results of the survey are. Is that what you're saying?
That's correct. And Environmental Services, in the report, it discusses this, that Environmental Services has requested an easement on the vacated alleyway. We just don't know how wide it needs to be. We anticipate that it would be in the western, 3 to 10 feet of the vacated alleyway, but without the location information, we can't really say for certain. And we would like to take as little as possible instead of just saying 10 feet. And so it may be that we believe that it would be useful to hold the record open for some period of time so that we can submit a certain survey to the hearing examiner.
That's certainly an agreeable way to approach it, and I'm okay with that. Any idea how long you're wanting to leave the record open?
I would say no more than 2 weeks.
2 weeks. Okay.
I would perhaps want up to 2 weeks in case survey has been unnecessarily or unexpectedly delayed. And I would ask to close it as soon as we can get you that information.
Yeah, certainly if the information is available sooner than 2 weeks, it can be submitted and the record would close upon submittal. If something weird happens and you need more than 2 weeks, you can communicate with my office and it could be held open longer too. We want the parties to understand that until the record closes, then if that's the approach we're taking in order to not deal with it differently in the recommendation, I would not write the recommendation until the record closes. So we'd get that more specific, more certain information, and then the recommendation would be written based on having that as opposed to otherwise. Mr. Temmel, is that acceptable to the petitioner?
Yes. What is the timeline? So once the record is closed, what is the timeline for the turnaround for the recommendation?
Well, honestly, this is a recommendation. I don't think it's going to take me terribly long to write up and have out. So it'd be within a week probably. It depends a little bit on what's happening on my calendar between now and when we get that information, the record would close. But, based on everything that's being presented today and my review of the city's exhibits prior to the hearing, it doesn't seem like this will be one that takes a terribly long time, so probably within a week. For purposes of timeline, overall timeline, though, once I issue the recommendation, that goes to council. My office then schedules it for council's consideration. And it has to go through a first and second reading process. So usually, from the time the recommendation issues to getting scheduled to council, that happens within a week. But then it's scheduled for council sometime usually out within the next week to a month, depending on what council's schedule is. But that'll happen regardless. That part of the time frame is something that happens regardless of whether we're looking to have the easement path nailed down a little more specifically. So, any questions in regard to that?
No, that sounds good. We have a closing on the 28th of this month, and so I was just wondering if there was a possibility to get a recommendation. It's probably not going to affect in the closing. At this point, with the
even if we didn't have this other issue, you're not going to have it done through council by the 28th. Exactly. So, you know, whether that affects your closing depends. You know, it all depends on how risk averse your buyer is. And wanting to have this all sewn up before they close.
Yeah, I just want to give them an update. I don't think it's imperative on the closing. I just wanted to let the buyer know what the timeline looked like for the recommendation moving forward once we get all the information.
Yeah, understood. And I would, for your edification, I guess, if it does go ahead and close on the 28th, if you would let my office know that would be great, because at that point, then we're going to have a successor in interest petitioner.
Correct.
You're representing the buyer or the seller?
I'm representing the seller, the Humane Society. The buyer is Mark Andrews and his construction company. And so,
yeah, for all intents and purposes, Mr. Andrews or whoever the purchaser is of the real property should really step into the petitioner's shoes at that point.
Absolutely.
Because these, you know, these are proceedings kind of in rem, as it's called in law. It attaches to the property. It's not personal to the Humane Society. So just to illustrate, you know, I can't come in and petition the city to vacate right-of-way that I don't live next to, because the way Washington law treats it is all right-of-way, well, not all right-of-way, but the presumption for all right-of-way, unless there's something different, you know, like having a deeded portion of it or something, is that the abutting property owners on either side own the underlying fee ownership out to the halfway point, but you can't do anything that interferes with that right-of-way interest. So it's essentially having your property encumbered with a very hefty easement, and that's how Washington law treats right-of-way, is as an easement in the public interest for public traversal and related purposes. And so if the abutting property owner changes, you know, Humane Society sells the property, it no longer has standing to prosecute that vacation petition as an abutting property owner. So the purchaser would need to step into the shoes, and the purchaser would be referenced ultimately as the petitioner in the ordinance and the other documentation finalizing the vacation.
Understood.
Does that make sense?
Yes.
Okay. Does that make sense to the city too?
Yes, thank you. I'd like to add that I have informed the potential buyer that he would need to step into the petitioner's shoes upon becoming the owner if he wants the vacation action to move forward.
Yeah, I presume, Mr. Temmel, I'm sure you could probably speak to this, if not, just say so, but I'm assuming that the buyer has sort of in the background wanted this vacation to take place, and the Humane Society has just been prosecuting it in order to facilitate the transaction.
That is correct.
Okay. All right, Ms. Pascoe, you're still under oath. Have you got more for me? And thank you for that, what you've offered thus far. That helps clarify a couple of questions I had in my mind from reviewing the materials beforehand. Didn't mean to throw you too far off track, but that was a fairly hefty digression that I initiated there. So
that's all right. That's all I had to add to my report.
All right. any cross-examination questions from you, Mr. Temmel, for Ms. Pascoe based on what she's presented?
No questions.
All right. So now is the time for the petitioner to present. And again, you know, if you're satisfied with what's in the exhibits and what Ms. Pascoe has said to this point, you don't need to make a separate presentation, but you can certainly do so if you choose. Do you have additional presentation you would like to make?
Nothing additional further.
Okay. And, oh, dang it, we didn't set a new record, though, mostly because of my blabbering on. I will note that it is almost 2 p.m., so we've been going for almost a half an hour. No one is present in council chambers at this point to present as members of the public interested in the street vacation. So I'm going to dispense with that portion of the hearing, there being no one to offer us anything in that regard. And there being no public presentation or testimony, there's really nothing to rebut, so I'm assuming that we don't need any rebuttal. Am I correct in that assumption, Ms. Pasco?
That's correct.
From the petitioner's side as well?
That is correct.
All right. Is the city wishing to make a closing statement today?
Yes.
All right, go ahead.
So the city Real Property Services Department recommends that this vacation be granted, and we base that recommendation on comments that we have received from city departments having no objection, and in particular to traffic engineering having no objection to this street vacation. And the report contains the various criteria that we followed, and that supports our recommendation to grant the vacation.
Okay. And when you say no objection from City of Tacoma Public Works Traffic Engineering, that means they've assessed the requested vacation and have determined that, one, that this doesn't, the vacation would not affect existing or current traffic patterns or circulation, and also they've determined that there's no future right-of-way need for this particular vacation area, correct?
That is correct. Under my understanding of their comments, they were asked to assess those things and responded that traffic had looked at it and had no objection.
All right.
Specifically.
And just for my clarification, too, this particular alleyway, half of it was from a dedication, the other half was from a deeded conveyance. It's never been opened or improved as a right-of-way, is that correct?
That is correct as far as we know.
Okay.
It does not appear to have ever been improved.
All right. Okay. Sorry to interrupt your closing statement with more questions. But
that's okay. That's all I had as a closing statement.
All right. So from the petitioner's side, then, are you wishing to make a closing statement?
Yes.
All right. Go ahead. Lean into that mic so we get you on.
The highest and best use for this property is clearly industrial development. We've had tremendous interest in the property, and it seems like that everybody's on board with this vacation, and I think that that would be a good recommendation.
Okay. All right, well, I will thank you for your presentations today, and we'll just note for purposes of abject clarity, we're going to leave the record open. Today is the 20th, so let me take a look at my calendar and just let's set a target date if we can. Get my calendar to open. The watched pot.
What's that?
The watched pot never boils, right? I'm sitting here waiting for my Outlook to open, and of course it's just not doing anything. So do you have a calendar, Ms. Legg? You know, when I started doing this gig, she'd always have a physical calendar for me all the time. Then I started bringing a laptop. Told her I didn't need it anymore until today. Oh, you know what? It's up now because you've got the
Friday.
You've got the physical one.
March
so
6th.
Today is February 20th. If we go just straight 2 weeks, we would go to March 5th. I'm inclined to say we look at March 6th as our target date. That would put us through that full week there until that Friday. And again, if the information you're wanting to submit that will help us nail down this this easement area is available sooner, you can submit it sooner, and the record would close on submittal. If for some reason it's not available by the 6th, you can contact my office. I would request, I guess, that you consult with the petitioner along the way so that we've got agreement about extending it before it comes to my office for the request. If more time is needed, we can certainly consider that. How does setting the date initially for a target date for the 6th work? Is that okay with the city?
That's fine with the city, March 6th.
So we'd be looking, you know, by close of business on the 6th unless otherwise advised.
Close of business on March 6th is acceptable.
Okay. Is that all right with the petitioner?
That is acceptable. Once closing occurs on the 28th, or if it closes on the 28th, we will notify your office as well as the buyer that is the date that this information needs to be, you know, submitted. And so we'll send written information or clarification that now the buyer is the petitioner. And so I will be out of the picture. You may say we get out of the picture once the property closes. So the new buyer, Mark Andrews, will probably be the one upholding the state, but hopefully we can get the survey prior to that time. I just want to clarify that after the 28th that the Mark Andrews and the buyer will be moving forward with the petitioning.
All right. And if it's acceptable to the petitioner, if I could request just getting a scanned copy of the deed, that would probably be the most beneficial thing to me, to just make sure that's happened and to clarify who the successor in interest petitioner is for the street vacation. That would be great. Anything else we need to address before we go off the record? Anything from the city?
No.
Anything from the petitioner?
Nothing further.
All right. Well, thank you for your presentations today. I will look forward to the additional submissions. We'll close the record upon receipt of those. And barring some strange, unforeseen circumstance, should have the recommendation out of my office and in the council's hands within a week after that. So thank you, and I'll wish you a good afternoon.
Thank you for your time.
Thank you.
Yes. Yeah.